Hello and welcome to Crosstalk, where all things are considered. I'm Peter Lavelle. What is the lasting impact of the Jeffrey Epstein saga? Will Donald Trump be able to ride this one out? And lastly, what do these released files say about our ruling elites? Crosstalking the Epstein saga, I'm joined by my guest Lionel in New York. He's a legal and media analyst. In Columbus, we have Misty Winston. She is an activist and host of the Misty Winston Show. And in Brazil, we cross to Simon Gaudek. He is a scientist and political activist. All right, Crosstalk rules in effect. That means you can jump anytime you want, and I always appreciate it. Lionel, let me go to you first here. You're a loyal lawyer by profession. I'm sure you've looked at some of these files. I don't think anyone has read them all, will ever read them all. What is your overall take? Because I've kind of stayed away from this topic as it's kind of been percolating for the last few years because we haven't had a whole lot to grab onto. Now there's so much. It's not a mountain of documents. It's a mountain range of documents. Lionel.
Well, a couple of things. First of all, I don't want to say much ado about nothing, but I'm not there. There's no smoking gun. It's kind of what we knew. But what I find interesting here, Peter, as I call myself in the fishbowl here, there are people who screamed and yelled, release the files, release the files, release the files. What about the flight logs? No, release the files. What about the black book? No, release the files. We will not live and sleep until you release the files. Well, they released the files. People are like, okay. What of the 3 million versions? Thank God for AI. So it's fascinating. You can look to some pretty interesting, damning, and strange moments, which pretty much verifies how weird and how perverted and disconnected this guy was from reality. But ultimately, I think it's going to be a bit of a, I don't want to say nothing burger, but not what people expected, at least initially.
Misty, what's your take on it? Is it what you expected? Because, like I said, I haven't invested a lot of time into this, but I did read some of the files. It's horrific. And what was going through my mind is if proven true, will any of these people involved in these things go to prison? And I'm not just talking about sex abuse, but financial crimes and other things. I mean, there's a treasure trove there. And in one respect that I'll agree with Lionel is that, you know, how do you get your hands around it and use it to put people in prison that committed these acts and should be in prison? Misty.
Yeah, well, I think, is it a big deal? I think it depends on where you're coming from. I think if you are somebody who largely avoided the topic and weren't really aware, you kind of had your blinders on and you thought that, you know, the people in government were good, wholesome people who were, you know, trying to do the right thing, then maybe you're going to be a little bit, I mean, for those of us who have been paying attention for many years, we know that these people are creeps and weirdos. Like, it's really been an open secret for a very long time. So I think how people interpret it will definitely depend on where they're coming from in terms of their knowledge of the situation. And will anybody go to jail? Of course not. There's when they say that nobody's above the law, they mean anybody but themselves. They will protect each other. And you have all these people freaking out. Well, you only care that Trump's in there. What about Bill Clinton? All of them. If you can, I think you should investigate. Arrest, try, and convict anybody who can be proven to be involved in any of those sets of circumstances that are in those files. Because as you said, it's horrendous stuff, some of the accusations that are in there. So I think that definitely people should go to prison. Will they go to prison? I think it's very unlikely.
Well, staying with you, Misty, there is a person in prison, and it's a woman.
Yeah. It's
okay.
A woman.
Okay.
Yes.
So that tells us a lot. Simon, what is the political impact of this here? Because, you know, MAGA was saying, release the files. And then, well, there's a bit of MAGA in the files, too. So, I mean, I don't think that was what they were expecting. No one comes out. There's no virtue here whatsoever. What is the political impact of it, Simon?
So I think there's hardly any impact. Most MAGA people don't talk about this or minimize or downplay the files. So there are many outspoken people, conservatives like Ben Shapiro, etc. They just said until recently, until 1 week ago, there are no Epstein files. There are no Epstein documents, you know. And now he's like, okay, still kind of doubling down. But I think what's most important here to mention is that the FBI and CIA, they got more than 6 million files, 6 million documents. And I think the last drop was 3 million, and now we have in total 3.5 million documents. So they're already wild. They talk about torturing babies, even killing, you know. So I'm wondering what's in the remaining 2.5 million documents, and how many documents have been destroyed? That's also a question. So I doubt that if there are like really documents that could like, you know, show that all of them are involved, they might not exist anymore. On top of this, none of these videos have been released. I mean, I don't want to actually see the videos because they will contain rape, etc. But I mean, like, they have not been released. There are no pictures of the perpetrators.
Yeah, well, Lionel, the you know, looking at Kash Patel's testimony in front of Congress, I mean, he's a real character, but some of the people questioning him are real characters too here. This is this vast, vast conspiracy. There were so many people in the know that knew what was going on, but he doesn't have anyone he wants to arrest. And then there are people that are not named. Why can't they be named?
Peter, as we say in the South, beats the hell out of me. But I got to tell you a couple of things here. First and foremost, remember there was one day at the White House where they released these binders. They looked like, and they said it was like a summary of all of the of the files.
Epstein files
and
phase
it went
one.
To all of these supposed. I'm sorry.
Go ahead, Simon.
It said Epstein files phase one.
Well, no.
That's right.
Yeah. Well, I think they were like newspaper clippings in the end of the day.
Well, let me
go ahead, Lionel.
Let me just say, there were these pictures of these supposed these big shot influencers, these big shot social media folks, you know, hoisting them above their heads. Well, guess what? I haven't heard a word from these people. Now, I'm not suggesting anything, Peter. You know me. I'm not a conspiracy theorist, but as Gore Vidal says, I'm a conspiracy analyst. Not one peep from these people. Number two, in about 2016 or so, there was a fellow named Moby. And Moby talked about how he was approached by what he believed to be CIA or somebody to basically buy, use, rent, or own his social media platform. You see, what a lot of people forget is, don't worry about infiltrating. Find somebody who's got a lot of numbers, pay them off, and then control what they do and give them a reason as to why. These people have been nowhere to be found whatsoever. And we have a number of other things going on in this country, different news stories, but they have been it's crickets. And it fascinates me. I say, what do you need to hear, and what you need, frankly, to be aware of this? That's what amazes me, the complete and total silence. Now, I'm not saying that this is true, but if it was true, it would look exactly like what I'm seeing now.
Yeah, but, I mean, Misty, we're ruled over by elites, and these elites will never investigate themselves. I mean, that's part of the whole saga, is being in this kind of very, very creepy circle, in a circle in which you expect impunity.
For sure. And that's exactly what I was talking about earlier. You know, should there be accountability? Of course there should. These are some of the most heinous crimes I've ever read. And as, you know, Simon mentioned earlier, we really don't even have the actual depth of how depraved it actually gets. I think that by far the things that have been hidden from us and that have still yet to be released and will probably never be released would reveal much more heinous things than we have already been privy to. So I think that, there should be accountability, but I just don't think that there's ever going to be. They've proven it time and time again. They protect each other. Power protects power. And since they're all implicated and they're all doing the, and I think that that's always so fascinating when they do the finger pointing, when, you know, Republicans want to point at Bill Clinton and Democrats want to point at Donald Trump, when they're all, creepy weirdos and they should all be held accountable.
Well,
they will protect each other.
They all knew each other. They went to the same parties. Yeah. Okay. I've never bought into that. Okay. It's very artificial. But Simon, one of the things that I'm very curious about, obviously to get the public's attention, the depravity, unfortunately, it's part of our nature in this electronic age. People focus in on that. They want pictures, they want videos and all that. But there's a lot of, it seems like, financial shenanigans going on here, too. A lot of scratching of each other's back. And even to the point where a lot of this looks like money laundering. Simon.
Yeah, I mean, the files clearly show that they have been talking about things they shouldn't be talking about. I think there was like a politician from England who recently stepped back, right? he resigned because he was mm-hmm. Telling financial secrets to Epstein. And also, if you look at the wire transfers, you can see where it comes from. It comes from many Zionist or Israeli entities, like, you know, money being transferred to Epstein. And yet Europe or European newspapers or European news, they all point the fingers at the Russian president, which is super wild.
Well, you know, the many uses and abuses of Russiagate, it was only a matter of time before it would surface. Lionel, who was Jeffrey Epstein?
Jeffrey Epstein, by the way, is now the current, if you will, Wikipedia reference of him is that he was some sextortionist, kind of a shadowy player. What Jeffrey Epstein really was a behind the scenes, either money laundering, a financial wizard. He was involved in far more. This guy goes back to Adnan Khashoggi and all kinds of weapons. I mean, he was so far more complicated involved in this. But yet, what people are looking at him now as somebody who was involved merely in kind of like setting people up. And I just, if I could just say something before I forget, there was a while, Peter, when conspiracy lunatics like us used to wonder why certain people at high levels were constantly emailing each other about certain forms of Italian delicacies like pizza. And they said, you're out of your mind. There is no such thing as this. But why are they saying this? They're not saying this. Shut up. You're crazy. You're sick. Guess what we see? Time and time again. I'm a former prosecutor. I've seen drug transactions with more transparency or less transparency than this. Peter, everything that we said before that we were castigated about is true.
It's true.
Where's my apology? Forget about the files. Time after time, I
want to talk about that in the second half of the program. We're going to go to a short break, and after that short break, we'll continue our discussion on the Epstein saga. Stay with RT. Welcome back to Crosstalk, where all things are considered. I'm Peter Lavelle. To remind you, we're discussing the Epstein saga. Okay, let's go back to Misty. Misty, I suppose in looking at from the files that I have read, and I've come across the Due Dissidence guys did a wonderful job of distilling parts of it. Really appreciated that. But, I mean, the big picture of all of this is the disconnect and the depravity of the people that rule over us in every sense, you know, in business, in finance, media, in politicians. And they come out as a group of people that are completely alien to the rest of us normies, and they like it that way.
Yeah, it's interesting, too, because I feel like people are still willing to make excuses for that. And it couldn't be more clear at this point that they are incredibly depraved, criminal, corrupt. I mean, there just aren't enough adjectives to describe how awful that they are. And I think that that's so interesting to me that we as a society, we're willing to let these people be our overlords. These are people who are making decisions and writing legislation and passing laws that essentially rule over our lives. We're paying taxes to pedophiles. I mean, that is an insane notion to really wrap your head around. We are paying taxes to some of the worst people. And I mean, I've been saying this for years. We really need to find a way to stop elevating the worst amongst us to positions of power. I don't know how we do that, but it is fascinating to me. And I think that it's really just because power does attract a certain type of person. And that is exactly what we're seeing play out here. It is attracting the worst amongst our society. For
well,
sure.
there's a word for that, Misty. Psychopaths. That's
yes.
What, yeah, no, but I mean, but it's really true. If you really think it, I mean, you know, Silicon Valley is a very good example. I mean, these people are off their rocker, okay? They may be brilliant in a way, or maybe they're not. They're just really good at getting government contracts, okay? I mean, I wouldn't let any of these people do gardening for me, okay? But, you know, they seem to, you know, I'll name that, like Elon Musk. I mean, he's not a normie, okay? You know,
no.
But Simon, how does this society digest this? I mean, Misty's twice mentioned, you know, the society tends to forgive this. I mean, if you take a couple of hours and read a cursory review of this, I'm not forgiving any of these people. Simon.
Yeah, as been said, I mean, like, you have to be smart to understand what's going on. So if you see males talking about cheese pizza and hot dogs,
you can be smart and a psychopath. They're not mutually exclusive. Keep going.
So I think this time it's going to be different. So yeah. People know there have been more than 1,000 victims, like as young as 12, or at least this is what has been known. There have been more than 200 psychopaths visiting the island, you know, and the logs are not there. I mean, they have them. They know who has been there, but they're not going to tell us. But the emails tell us a lot about who has been there. You know, some of them are dead, like Stephen Hawking's, etc. But we know who's been to the island and we know what's happened there because the emails talk about this. They talk about cheese pizza. They talk about hot dogs, you know. Who pays $8,000 for a pizza? I mean, like, it doesn't make any sense. So we know what happened there. The emails talk about torturing kids. So I doubt that they had, like, just normal meetings or dinners there, just like Bill Gates said, oh, like, we just had a dinner, you know. And then there's an email showing that he got actually STDs. And gave his wife like some antibiotics secretly so she wouldn't get it. So what has been revealed is really wild. And I think people won't stop talking about this. And we still have MTG, we have Thomas Massey. They will continue going. They will continue going the legal way to get access to the rest of the documents. Well, I'm very positive about this.
But Simon, at least the initial reaction to the file drop is, and I think we'll all agree on this point, they're going out, they're focusing, the attention is being focused on certain individuals, the Clintons, Bill Gates, former Prince Andrew. And again, this is part of this titillating exercise that we have. And it's glorified gossip in many ways. Instead of, if I can go back to Lionel on this, there's something systemic about this. And I think it's intolerable. I mean, particularly the fate of the average person in the Western world is on decline, and we see these elites behaving this way here. There has to be some kind of correction. But is there any mechanism for such a correction, Lionel?
Well, I hope this is step one of the correction. But let me just throw one thing more in here. Because the real takeaway for me, and I'm just a simple country lawyer, Peter. That's all I am. I cannot believe how these idiots with access to some of the greatest intel organizations of all time put everything in emails. There is nothing they won't write. It's almost as though they're saying, I don't give a damn what you're saying.
Lionel, that's just the point. That's just the point, is that we're going to put it in email, and even if somebody reads it, who cares? That's the systemic problem I'm talking about.
But now you're a mind reader. You're a mind reader now. Not only are they a psychopath, but one of the conditions of a psychopath is that they have no appreciation for consequence. And basically, when you see every picture you see of Epstein, there's a haughtiness of I don't care. You don't know who I am. Well, guess what there? Guess what, Jeff? You're the last one. You don't buy the green bananas. They got you. And one last thing. When I see the heads of my government say, I'm telling you, he committed suicide. When every forensic pathologist talks about hyoid bones being fractured, thyroid, cartilage, this is homicide 101. What they're doing is they're you know what on your they're micturating on your leg and telling you it's raining. And the gig's up. If there's one thing, the gig is up. The world and America are finally realizing these people are sicker than you had anticipated. They're demented. And they, like George Carlin said, they're in a club and you ain't a member.
You know, Misty, Trump has downplayed his involvement in these files here. And, this is a Democrat thing. It's a hoax thing. I've never heard of a hoax having millions of documents attached to it. But, you know, maybe that will be explained to me one day. But he's in there a lot. OK, does he ride this out or is it baked in already?
It's, I mean, he did say he could shoot somebody in the middle of Fifth Avenue and he wouldn't lose a single vote. And I think that his fan base is fairly loyal. I do think he's lost a significant amount of support in recent years. But what I find interesting is that so many people are struggling to come to terms with the fact that Donald Trump is a monster. This is a guy who bragged about grabbing women by the you-know-what. This is a guy who bragged about being able to go into the dressing room to look at underage girls at his beauty pageants. This is a guy that talked sexually about both of his daughters, including Tiffany, in an interview with Robin Leach, who was just a year old at the time, talking about how she had her mother's legs and he was hoping that she would get her mom's you-know-whats as well, but time would tell. I mean, this is a guy who he has been a monster. It's not a surprise. He's been very open about who he is, and I think that that's what's so frustrating for me, is that anybody ever fell for this idea that he was some, you know, upstanding guy who was going to come in and save the country. That's just not the case. It never was. It was always obvious. So I don't know if he's going to be able to ride this out. I think that he has certainly lost a significant amount of big name supporters who had previously supported him. So I think only time will tell. And I think what's really going to be interesting is that, I mean, Trump is, this is his last term unless he wants to, you know, go against the Constitution, which is definitely possible. But how is this going to impact J.D. Vance? How is this going to impact the next Republican nominee? How is this going to impact the Republican Party in general? I think it's really the interesting question here.
Yeah, Simon, I suppose there'll be a precedent for 2028. The bumper sticker, "I wasn't in the files." Is that going to be enough to get you elected here? But Simon, and I'd like to extend my question to, this is just not the United States. It's all through the Western world. It's through business worlds into the Middle East and all of this. I mean, this is a transcultural phenomenon here. And it's these elites that find affinity among themselves, but not necessarily the average person that they rule over.
Yeah, you know, I'm living in Brazil right now. I'm from Europe. And at least in Brazil, they talk about this a lot. I mean, the males also show that they were trafficking Brazilian girls. So this is what Brazilians talk about. And I've been asked, like, you know, is this true? I'm like, yeah, it's true. Then if you look over to Europe, they try to downplay it because they still feel guilty for Israel and Jewish people. So they try to, as I said before, they try to blame Putin, and they will never, never say like it was an Israeli operation. And in the United States, I think you have the most freedom of speech. So there, you know, people talk about this publicly and even some media talk about this, but it's still more on social media, I think. So you have to go, you really have to go on X. You have to go, even now Instagram is quite wild as well, that people talk about this as well. I mean, TikTok is now heavily censored, so you're not even allowed to use the name Epstein or Israel anymore, otherwise you get banned. But I think nowadays, you know, the whole world is literally waking up to these pedophiles.
You know, Misty, I'm going to go back to you because you're a woman. The level of, I think a lot of us, you know, Lionel and I are pretty much the same age, and coming up at that in the decades that we did, is, you know, misogyny was frowned upon and pushed back against, and in public you were a good little boy by not being misogynistic. But this crowd of people, they are openly very misogynistic. We've made no progress at all, zero.
No. And I mean, it's when you have the leader of the free world, the president of the United States, chastising a journalist that she needs to smile while asking questions about a global child sex trafficking ring. And then you have the vice president defending that and saying that, you know, we really got to lighten up a little bit. And even if you're asking tough questions, you should smile more. She's asking questions about child rape. I'm not going to smile when asking questions about that topic. So, I mean, you're right. We really have made no progress. And I think that's. Trump is really, if and nothing else, he has really laid a lot of things bare, because he has no gift for subtlety. He has no talent for subtlety whatsoever. He says the ugly things out loud. He does the ugly things out loud. I mean, I think he's really exposed a lot of things. If there's any tiny silver lining to Donald Trump, I think that's it, is that he has really pulled the mask off the ugliness of this country. And that's one of the things that he's definitely exposed.
Lionel, the last 30 seconds are yours.
Very simply this, we are, if you want to hear about this, you can't go to mainstream media, which are dead, necrotic. It's over with. That's number one. Number two, the ultimate vindication is going to come from the pitchfork and torch crowd on social media. That's how we get them. It's a brave new world, Mr. Lavelle, and I'm glad to be a part of it.
Yeah, well, you know, but they're dismantling social media as well, and there's going to be a backlash against that. The odds are always stacked against us, but we persevere, okay? That is I'm naive in that way. I don't know if we're going to win, but I know we have to struggle. That's all the time we have. I want to thank my guests in New York, Columbus, and in Brazil. And of course, I want to thank our viewers for watching us here at RT. See you next time. Remember, Crosstalk Rules.